1 Timothy chapter 2. Message is entitled, Growing in the Ministry of Prayer in 2020. Prayer is not just fellowship with God, it's actually one of the most significant ministries available to the Christian, and it's available to every Christian. In fact, the Lord commands all of us to be a part of this ministry, to be engaged in this specific ministry. And so, you might be new to prayer, you might be a well-seasoned veteran when it comes to prayer, but all of us have this ministry of prayer available to us and entrusted to us, and all of us have room to grow. And so I would like to take a moment to look through 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, that tells us specifically some things that we should pray. There's all kinds of aspects to prayer. It's impossible to go through it all today, but I just wanted to pick one prayer that we can bring. I'm going to bring out five main points here that can inform our prayers. Some of it's already on your prayer sheet. But if we're going to grow, we need to have very specific emphasis that we're praying for. And I believe this is a critical one as we're beginning our year. So let's begin by reading the scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Those are some powerful prayer requests right there. And let's walk through them one by one. First of all, we're going to look at the importance of the prayer ministry. He says, I exhort therefore, first of all. So in chapter 2, he has all kinds of things he's going to lay out. He has all kinds of exhortations and instructions. But he says, before I give you any other instruction, first of all, let's focus on prayer. Prayer was a priority in Paul's life, but not just in Paul's life as he's instructing Timothy. It was also a priority in Christ's life. Christ did not start his ministry until he had spent time for 40 days fasting in the wilderness, really preparing himself for his public ministry. During that time, the devil tempted him, and he was literally doing spiritual battle with the devil and quoting scripture, using the very tools that you and I have to use today, using the Word of God to combat temptation. And he came out victorious. And then he was then baptized. And you know what he did before he chose his 12 disciples? He spent the entire night in prayer. And throughout his life, we find that he was a man of prayer. It was important to Christ. In fact, the night that he was betrayed, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane because that was one of those places that he would go to pray in the evenings because it was quiet. It was something he often did. And that's where they knew they could find him. And his enemies arrested him there. He was a man of prayer. He was important to the Savior. It should be important to us. The ministry of prayer is to be of primary importance in our lives. Through inspiration, the Holy Spirit tells us, through Paul, but the Holy Spirit's giving Paul the words to say, he's saying, I exhort you. So he doesn't just say, I command you, but it's like, I'm begging you to do this. I'm exhorting you to do this. This is God pouring out his heart to us, to you and me, saying, this is what I want for you. I want you to be praying and speaking to me. I exhort you that you do this. So important to realize that for the Christian, our relationship with God has changed. Before we knew Christ, he was our judge, and we stood guilty before him. When we place our faith in the work of Jesus Christ, the work that he did on the cross, paying for our sins, when we trust his work rather than our own, Jesus Christ redeems us, saves us, and even though we're still sinners, God in heaven slams that gavel down the moment we trust Christ, and he says, you are declared righteous. And he now calls us son, daughter, child of mine. And so now when we come to God, we come to a loving Heavenly Father that loves us with the same love that he has for his Son. Amazing. I love it when I come home after being gone for a while and my kids run to me. When I was a kid, when my dad had been gone, we'd hear his key in the lock. And no matter where we were in the house, all of our rooms were upstairs, we'd come thundering down the stairs, Dad's home! We couldn't wait to see our dad. You know, in even more extreme case, in an even more wonderful way, the better we know the Lord, the more our heart should just long to fellowship with him. But that takes faith, because we can see our earthly father, we can't see God. And so it takes a lot of spiritual understanding and a lot of your mind being saturated with truth that the spiritual reality becomes just as real as if God were face to face and we draw near to him. It's interesting, this is not so much a command as a strong appeal, because genuine prayer cannot be forced. So the application is this: if we fail to recognize the importance of prayer, we're never going to enter into this ministry. We're not going to enter into the closeness of fellowship with God, and we're not going to enter into one of the most powerful outlets for ministry that we have in this life. You know, who can comprehend the tragic loss of power to promote the work of the Lord that would result? We underestimate the power of our specific prayers. I say, oh, I'm nobody special. God doesn't really want to hear from me. And it's not about us. It's about us exercising faith. And in a very real sense, when we place our faith in the Lord in a very specific action, we become a channel of his power and blessing, a channel of his presence in this world, in our sphere of the world. It's amazing. But he waits for us to initiate. So the importance of the prayer ministry. Quickly, let's look at the nature of the prayer ministry. He says there, verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Four different words being used. It's interesting that the use of the present tense, be made, that these things be made, indicates that prayer is to be habitual, continued. It's a regular practice. It's not to be done just once, but this is to go ongoing. It's to be the very life of the Christian. So what are these four aspects of prayer mentioned here? First of all, the supplications. We are to be continuously supplicating. What is that? It's a general word for prayer, which means a request or a petition. So continuously, we're to be bringing our requests to the Lord. Not just in one specific prayer time, but this should become the pattern of our life. That when we come to an impasse where we're not sure what to do, what decision that needs to be made, or we need the Lord to intervene, that's our first thought is, Lord, please help. Before we slam that fist down in frustration, before we do whatever we're going to do, we first say, Lord, what do you want from me here? What are you doing here? Are you redirecting me? What's your mind and your will in this moment? So this is a prayer that's prompted by a conscious sense of need. That's what a supplication is. Lord, I have a need. Many people came to the Lord Jesus Christ in great need. Remember the woman that was inflicted with that flow of blood that had been flowing for years. She spent all of her money trying to get some type of an answer from the doctors. No doctor could help her. And so she knows if she can just touch the hem of the Lord's garment, she'll be healed. And she sought him and pressed her way through the crowd until she was able to touch his garment, and she was healed. She had a need, and she was healed. And the Lord stops right there and addresses her and praises her for her faith. In the same way, folks, when we have a need, where do you run? Do you run to worry? Do you run to frustration? Do you run to anger? Do you run to just trying to solve that problem in your own will, your own strength? Or do you take that need to the Lord and say, Lord, please help? This sense of need is essential to effective praying. Without a sense of need, the mind wanders, the mouth moves, but nothing is really accomplished. Folks, we have great needs. Many times we don't even sense them. We're not even aware of the needs that we have. And the less time we spend in prayer and the less time we spend in His Word, the less we're even aware of the need we have. Supplication. It's an awareness of need that drives us to the Lord. Secondly is prayers. This is a word, it's a general term used to include all different kinds of prayer. So it's used specifically for prayer to God, because prayer can mean just a simple request to anyone. Like in the old English, I pray you, do not do this thing, right? But in this case, this word for prayer is a request specifically. Every time this specific word is used in the New Testament, it is referring specifically to a request made to God. A general request could be about a whole multitude of things. So it's interesting that this word, we're not just saying asking, but the Lord did say ask and you shall receive. This word is a more reverent term. You pray. We don't just ask God, we pray. It shows our reverence before Him. He is the sovereign. We are His subject. We are His child, yes, but we are still His servants. And we come before Him and say, Lord, I am seeking You. Only You can answer this request. And it teaches that prayer must be reverent toward God, recognizing we're coming before the King of Kings. You know, it's tragic throughout this, not just this nation, but throughout this world, so many people, even non-God-fearing people, are so quick to throw out the name of God as a curse word. They're so quick to throw out the name of God as an expletive. And yet, when we come before God, it is to be with utmost reverence. We're not worthy of coming before Him. We come before Him only because of the merit of Christ, not because of our own merit. We need to constantly keep that in mind and not come in pridefully or flippantly to the throne of grace, as the Lord speaks of it. Third, intercessions. This term, it occurs only here and one other time in 1 Timothy 4:5. It conveys the idea of a childlike confidence in prayer. Comes from a Greek word. It means to fall in with or meeting with in order to converse freely. Since we are sons of God, we have a free access. We have a free access with our Father. They say many presidents that have children have an open door policy so their child could walk right in. Everybody else, like you and me, we have to seek an audience with the president. Some of us could probably never do it. And even others who might be very significant and leaders of other lands, they have to have someone scheduling it all out, and it has to all work just right. And even then, the president may or may not see that individual. But you and I, like the president's son or daughter, can walk right in to the throne room of God and be heard. And while everyone else might be shaking and might be fearful to meet with the president, the child, if it's a healthy relationship with their father, it's not the same way. There may be a reverence there, certainly, but there's a freedom. Why? Because of the fatherly relationship. We have that relationship with God. We have great reverence for Him, but we have access. Look at 1 John quickly. Keep your finger here. Look at 5:14. So 1 John, it's not the Gospel of John, but the Epistle of John, way back towards the end of the New Testament. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. So it's just before the last book of the Bible. You find 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 tells us this. about this relationship says this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, and that's the important thing, prayer is not a magic wand to accomplish our will, but when we ask anything according to his will, as revealed through the principles and precepts of the scripture, we know he heareth us. He hears us. If we ask anything, that's the confidence that we have. So we don't have to hope. Oh, man, I've prayed all 21 days. Hopefully God hears me now. No, the moment we pray and open our mouth and begin to pray, as best we know the word of God, we begin to pray his own words after him and say, Lord, this is what your scripture says. Lord, do this in my heart. Lord, open the heart of my family member. I know this is your will, that not any should perish. Lord, work. We can know that we've been heard. That's the confidence that we have because he's our Father. So intercessions. Fourth is giving of thanks. Giving of thanks. This is a word that indicates the spirit in which our prayers are to be offered. The scripture commands us to give thanks without ceasing, to give thanks in all things. We can give thanks even when we are sinned against, not because we should be thanking God for evil done to us, but we can be thanking God that he is faithful to us even in that. That God can give us grace to overcome. That God never leaves us or forsakes us even in that terrible hour. There's always something to thank God for in every situation. And folks, when thanksgiving is missing from our prayers, it shows that faith is absent from our prayer. Because thanksgiving is acknowledging that you've been heard and that God has answered in the past and he will answer again. And we're thanking God in advance. Thank you, God, that you hear me. Thank you that you're working in ways that I don't even understand. Thank you, you're at work now. And thanksgiving is an opening of our eyes to the spiritual reality and saying, I'm not going to just believe what I see, can see, touch, and feel, but I'm going to realize that God is in control behind the scenes, and I can rest in him. We should publicly and verbally express our gratitude to God for the blessings he's given us. Thanksgiving is just an essential element, and it prepares the heart to anticipate answers to our prayer. And folks, I really believe we don't understand the grace of God until we really begin to thank him for it. And it's cyclical. The more we thank him for what we have, the more we understand the value, which causes us to want to thank him more, and it just goes deeper and deeper. Thanksgiving's critical. Folks, without this, and I've said it many times, but I want to say it once again at the outset of prayer, we all, every one of us in this room, carry heavy burdens. Many of them that you're not able to tell really anyone else. We all carry those. Heavy. And when we go to the Lord in prayer, especially when we're starting our day in prayer, we are immediately remembering some of those heaviest things we bear. And folks, that's why it's so critical. Prayer could be one of the most depressing ways to start your day if you're not careful. As you bring your need before the Lord, it's the time to begin to offer up thanksgiving and say, Lord, you know what's on my heart. You know the need I carry and the burden that I carry. But Lord, I want to thank you that you've said I can cast my burden on you. Lord, I'm casting my burden today. I want to thank you that you're at work in this in ways that I can't even see or acknowledge. Lord, thank you. And begin your day saying, I'm going to worship the Lord. And these things are not going to press me down. These things are going to drive me to the loving arms of my Savior. And I'm going to rest in him today. And in that way, those burdens and those difficulties can be, in that way, the very gift of God, if you will see it with the right perspective, to drive you into the arms of the Savior. To drive you deeper and closer. Those who walk through the greatest fire have the potential to know the Lord the most. But we hold the key as to whether or not those things crush us or make us. And it's, the key is faith and thanksgiving. Quickly, number three, let's look at the scope of the ministry of prayer. He says, pray for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. Wow. So he says, all men, that's everybody. But he says, specifically, he's saying, we need to be praying for more than just me, the people I know. You have such worldwide influence, folks, that the Lord wants you to be praying not just for what's going on in your city, your town, your state, your nation, but the world, because your prayers can move the hand of God to be in places and to work in places that you and I could never visit. Your prayer can do that. He says, so pray for all men. We need to have a worldwide scope in our prayers. All men. Praying for all men protects us from self-centeredness, because it's so easy to say, Lord, this, we have our wish list, and it's usually very personal, and that's fine, and that's good. But the Lord says, don't forget what's outside your walls. Pray for all men. Praying for all men also continually reminds us of our responsibility to fulfill the Great Commission. There are still so many people in this land and in others who have not yet heard the name of Jesus in a meaningful way. They don't know what he's done on the cross. The significance of the cross is lost to them. It's a historical event in their mind, if even that. But they don't know the meaning. That if they'll trust what he's done, it can change their very life and their very eternal destiny and their relationship with God. Pray for all men. Pray for kings, for all that are in authority. Prayer is to be national and patriotic. Christians are to be praying for the leaders of the nation in which they live. Even the Jews were told, when they were taken into captivity, they were told to pray for the leaders of the nation that had taken them captive. He said, and pray for peace. Pray for them that they would have peace with God ultimately. And they were to be evangelistic, even in a place of captivity. Here we are, we're not in a place of captivity. We have so many blessings, and yet, folks, we must be praying because there is evil in this world that's envious and greedy. And all these nations are trying to topple the others. They desperately want what one another have, not realizing that all blessings come from God. You don't put him first, and you're going to squander and lose it all, even if you obtained it all. See that so much in the communistic countries that have shut God out and plunged their nations into dark ages. And they think the key is by taking everything from everyone else, and yet, without God, they wouldn't keep a bit of it. They'd waste it all. And folks, our prayers have the ability to go and minister to those Christians in Iran right now, to minister to those, uphold those missionaries who are trying to get out of that country. Our prayers can actually put a hedge of protection around them. Our prayers can further the gospel. While it seems chaos is happening in that part of the world, folks, our prayers can further those Christians, those Iranian Christians who are trying to do the word of God and maybe smuggling Bibles under those burqas, maybe risking their very life day in and day out to quietly hold church services and try to reach out to neighbors. Imagine doing that, folks, the risk that you have to take to find out if the person you want to witness to is even open, because if he's not, he'll turn you in. Imagine, folks, what the average Christian goes through there, realizing if they are caught, many times their children are tortured before their eyes first, realizing that their witness could jeopardize everyone they know. And yet the gospel goes on, but you and me can uphold them and can help them. As we pray for their kings, if Paul, the chief antagonist of Christianity, could be saved and become the chief proponent, folks, we need to be thinking, we need to be praying for that little dictator, Kim Jong-un. We need to be praying for Putin. We need to be praying for what's his name in China. Because if God would get a hold of their hearts, entire nations could be changed. That's the power of prayer. He says, be praying for kings, for all that are in authority. Amazing. Quickly, number four, the results of the prayer ministry. He says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Prayer moves the hand of God, who holds the hearts of kings in his hands, to leave Christians at rest. Proverbs 21 says the heart of the king is in his hand. He moves it wherever he wants it to go. He can direct it in ways that we do not fully understand. God can do it. Folks, Paul believed that prayer changes things. We should believe the same. When we pray, the scripture says that we can be praying for these decision makers in our land, in our state, in our communities, around the world, and it will influence our peace and our safety. Because, folks, not always does the blood of the martyrs become the seed of the church. Russia has shown us that. In fact, Europe has shown us that. We exist here today because of the persecution in Europe. The very home of the printing press there in Gutenberg, and the Bible being the first book printed on that press, became a place of great antagonism towards Christians, and they were forced out. And they went to England and then here. And that's why, as we've talked about it so many times, that's why World War II swept that nation into such deceit, because they were Christians in name only. They did not understand the scriptures. They'd driven out the Bible believers. And that place is a rock-hard mission field today. It is so hard to reach. People are being saved there, but it's the immigrants to the nation. It's extremely rare when a European person will place their faith in Christ. You have even worse cases, such as in Russia, where there was one time a thriving church, and communism did a great job of stamping out most of Christianity there. It's hard to believe that in some cases that there in China, the blood of the martyrs there has furthered the church. And as of this year, 2020, by the end of this year, there will be more Christians in China than in America. But folks, persecution doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it's almost completely successful. And the Lord says, don't pray for persecution, pray for peace. That we could live a quiet and peaceable life, not to squander it to ourselves. But the gospel does, in an ideal world, in a peaceful world, has the potential to spread more freely than under the chaos of persecution. Try to start a church in Syria today. When people are fleeing left and right and there's no stability. We need to be praying for peace. Our prayers affect entire nations to the saving of souls. Folks, just think about it when you go through chaotic times in your life. It's one of the reasons for prayer, trying to find a quiet place, because chaos has a way of disturbing your heart. It's very difficult to quiet the heart to hear from the Lord. We need to be praying for that quiet, peaceable life. He says that we would be living a life in all godliness and honesty, so we do not abuse that peace for our own selfish purposes. We don't abuse that peace. So yay, life without war. Now I can live to my heart's content doing what I want to do. Folks, many a Christian has done that, and I really believe that that's what's happening in America. We have peace in large part because of the sacrifices of past generations based upon Bible-held beliefs. And we think we can throw away those beliefs and still enjoy the freedoms, and it doesn't work that way. And you watch, folks, the tax debt just continue to skyrocket in this land as we get more farther and farther from God. We don't run to God, we run to laws. We've got tens of thousands of them in this land, and it's not making us any better. And folks, you watch as America becomes enslaved more and more by the taxation of this land, and slavery is a result of sin. Because we're taking the peace and the freedom that we have and think that we have it just because there must be just something better about us in America. We're just better people. Not realizing the environment was purchased with blood. The blood of our Savior and the blood of those who followed in His steps. And we have freedom at great price. And when we squander it upon ourselves and become selfish, we become like a child who squanders his parents' inheritance. He says, no, we do this so we may live a godly life. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holy life. And honesty indicates this manward focus, this manward character of this type of life. Not just a godly life, but a life that's honest with God and man. Lastly, the basis of the prayer of ministry, of the prayer ministry, he says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why we pray. That's the ultimate way God is glorified, with the salvation of souls. He says, this is good. Prayer is good. It's acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Prayer is good for those we pray for. Prayer is good for those who pray. It's twofold. It's doing good for those that we're sending those prayers on to, so to speak. And it does our heart good, too. It draws us closer to our Savior. Prayer is also acceptable in the sight of God. Intercession is acceptable in the sight of God because it's in accord with His will for mankind. Jesus Christ is interceding for us at this moment. In fact, in some ways, we are most like Christ when we are praying for others as He prays for us. God desires the salvation of men. He says, who will have all men to be saved. God desires the salvation of all men. He desires that sinners be saved from the penalty of sin. You and I are sinners, and if we place our faith in the Savior, that ultimate penalty for sin has been removed. Penalty for sin still exists in this life. Still mars our life, it harms our life in this life. But the ultimate penalty for sin is removed for those of us who place our faith in the work of Jesus. And that's what we ought to be praying for all. Christ gave Himself a ransom for all, verse 6 tells us. The salvation also of the saint from the power of sin is what we ought to be praying for. When we are delivered from the ultimate penalty, it's not to say, yes! I have my ticket. I get to go to heaven for free. Now I can live the way I want. Wrong. What a foolish thing to do. We ought to be praying for the salvation of the saint from the power of sin. That's what we call sanctification. That's a process of becoming more and more like Christ. Now, learning to love Him because He first loved us. Learning to serve Him because He first gave Himself for us. To come to the knowledge of the truth. This Greek word for knowledge is not just a simple word for knowledge and kind of intellectual understanding, but instead it's a compound form which seems to mean growing knowledge or perception. The idea has to come to increasing knowledge of the truth. Paul prayed that the Colossians would grow in their knowledge of God, not just in knowing more about Him, but knowing Him intimately. You know, it's kind of like I don't know if you're a sports enthusiast. This football season, I'm sure if you follow football, you can know all the ins and outs. And nowadays, with the internet and all this, you can know more about these players' stats, their personal lives, where they grew up. All this is public information. You can know so much without having a relationship with that person. Right? That's not to be the way we study the Scriptures. Just to fill our mind with knowledge that does not result in a personal relationship. And that can happen. You can have great knowledge and think, oh yes, I have a great relationship with God. I know so much about him, while living in so little faith upon what God has asked you to do. Wisdom, as we're looking at Sunday nights, wisdom is knowledge applied and lived. That's what the Lord wants for us. So intercessory prayer, folks, contributes to the growth of the saints. That's why I'm asking you to be praying, not for just for yourselves, but be praying for the growth of this church. And God will hear that, because that's the will of God. So intercessory prayer paves the way for the Great Commission to have effect in our day, to redeem and to sanctify us. When we pray, lost souls are prepared to receive the gospel. Christians are strengthened to grow in their experiential knowledge of God. Folks, how much influence for the gospel today is lost when you and I do not pray? We'll only know that when we get to heaven. But how much more the cause of Christ goes forward when we do pray as we ought. So let's have heads bowed and eyes closed. We've got to finish up. Let me ask some probing questions, and this is something to pray over tonight, but or this afternoon. Is prayer a top priority in your life? Folks, your schedule shows it. Your life shows it. Do you pray, if you have a family, do you pray with your wife? Do you pray with your children? Is prayer part of your ongoing habitual routine? How many say, you know what? The Lord's working in my heart. I don't know about you, but it's easier for me to read my Bible than it is to pray. It's easier to spend more time in Bible study than it is to spend time in prayer, because prayer is hard work. How many say, you know what? The Lord has convicted me. When I look at my schedule and my habits of life, I want to take a step forward in making prayer the way I'm starting my day. So usually the way we start is the way we continue throughout that day. Anyone like that, say, please pray for me. I'm kind of recommitting myself to commit to prayer in this way. Anyone like that? Amen, amen, amen. Let me ask this. Is the focus of your prayers too narrow? Are your prayers primarily focused on yourself? And the Lord, and that's not necessarily bad. It's not bad to pray about what you need. The Lord said, do so. But you say, you know what? The Lord's convicted me today. I need to broaden the scope of my prayers. Anyone like that, say, please pray for me. I need to broaden that scope, be more worldwide in my perspective. Amen. And last, do your prayers focus on the advancement of the gospel throughout the world? How many say, you know what, I need to be praying more for those who are in other lands that do not know the gospel? Anyone like that? Amen. Let's take a moment here to pray. Father, I thank you so much for a room full of people. A room full of people that want to know you more. They wouldn't be here otherwise. They want to grow. But a room full of people saying, pray for me, because prayer needs to be a greater priority in my life. Greater priority in 2020. I need to expand the focus of my prayers, praying for those in other nations, praying for the advancement of the gospel, not just here, but around the world. Lord, thank you that you can take a little church like ours and people like us and use our prayers to do supernatural things, not just in this community, but around the world. Lord, I thank you for a church that's taking a step forward in this year to be men and women of prayer. It's one thing to pray at church, but Lord, make us men and women of prayer at home. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do as a result. Thank you, Lord, for this 21 days of prayer that we're kicking off today. Lord, I pray that by the end of these 3 weeks, Lord, it would set a habit of prayer that would last throughout this year and beyond, that we can build upon. Lord, I pray that the prayers just over these next 3 weeks give us, Lord, some early victories. We know that most prayer requests take time to develop and take time for you to work. Lord, I pray you'd also give us some early victories as well, things that we can rejoice on even after the end of these 3 weeks, even by the end of the day in some cases. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we have to partner with you in prayer, to engage in this ministry. And it's in Christ's name we pray, amen. Let's take out our hymnals, and we're going to turn in our hymnals to Channels Only. We're going to sing this as a song of commitment. This is hymn number 332. Let's stand to our feet as we sing it. 332.
How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power. Flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour.
On that second,
emptied not thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power but as thou givest graciously with each command. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power. Flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour.
We're going to sing that last stanza now. Jesus, fill now with thy spirit hearts that full surrender know. On the last now.
Jesus, fill now with thy spirit hearts that full surrender know. That the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power. Flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour.
Beautiful singing. Just before I let you go here, tonight we're starting back up. Looking at the book of Proverbs, The Ultimate Pursuit. We meet at Trinity Christian School in their one of their gymnasiums there. We'd love to have you. That's tonight at 6 p.m. And the address is there in the bulletin. And then Wednesday night prayer meeting at 7 p.m. also there at Trinity Christian School. Keep those things in mind. And we'd love to have you for both of those things if it works out for you. Thanks for your great attention. Let's close here in prayer. Father, thank you so much for our time together. Lord, take us now safely to our homes. Use us for your glory. Bring us back together again soon, rejoicing in answers to prayer. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.